Austin. Thank you for coming back. You always kind of wonder after you preach somewhere Sunday morning if anybody's going to come back on Sunday night, amen? Well, I'm glad to see at least a handful of you came back out here. That was a good crowd, amen? I appreciate that. Enjoyed that singing. Those fellas did a good job, amen? And the young lady played the piano, thank you. Listen, if you think that kind of stuff's easy, just try it sometime. I've been preaching now over 30 years, and I still get nervous every time that I get up to preach. And, I have to take a minute, kind of say a few things just to kind of get the nerves calmed down and then and go on from there. But listen, I don't know about you. I hope it's true with all of you. Man, I just want to be used of God. Amen. And why in the world the Lord had called me to preach, I don't know, but I'm sure glad he did. I enjoy it, but I enjoy listening to preaching too. So anyway, all right, take your Bibles if you would. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 this evening. Hebrews chapter 1. Had a good time this morning. I hope you did. Hope you got some help from the Lord. Had a good nap this afternoon. That's a good Baptist thing, amen, on a Sunday afternoon. I was talking to one of your boys, though. He said he didn't nap. He said, Dad, nap. Mom, nap. I didn't nap. I said, man, that's, you're wasting time, man. I don't know what in the world. All right, if you have that, let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. How many of you have Hebrews chapter 1? Let's see. All right, that's not where I want you. Amen? I want you in Philemon, verse 6. But if I said Philemon, Brother Todd would still be looking around through the Bible trying to figure out where it was. Amen? So it's a whole lot easier just say Hebrews chapter 1, and there's Philemon. Amen? If you would, look down to verse 6. We're going to use that this evening as a text verse. Philemon in verse 6. If you have that, say amen, wave at me, do something, let me know you're there. You got it? All right. The Bible says this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Just want to take this evening, focus on the first part of that verse, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Let's pray and then we'll look at the message. Father, please. Lord, as we come before you this evening, again, we sure do love you. Lord, just to stop and consider how much you love us is, Lord, it's just unimaginable. I'm so thankful, dear God, that you loved me, that you kept working on my heart until that day that God, I listened. I pray now that, God, you would meet with us this evening. We again pray for Brother Fritz and Miss Carol. Lord, pray that you would give them a profitable trip. Lord, we need you this evening. We need your presence. We need your power. Without you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, we declare our dependence upon you. And Lord, just ask you, please, direct the thoughts of my mind this evening that I can be a help. In Christ's name, I pray and ask it now. Amen. You can be seated. I'm convinced that I've said a lot about it this morning. You know, not only is our nation in trouble, but folks, the only hope for our nation at this point is revival. It is a must that we have revival. Without that, there are so many, negative things that you can look at right now that's going on I really believe we're kind of at a point of civil war. I don't believe it'll be against a north-south kind of thing again, but obviously a more of a war of ideas. I think, honestly, we are already in a battle, though we may not be fighting with guns. We are certainly in a battle of ideas and a battle of direction for our nation. I kind of talked about it this morning, not going to belabor the point, but man, this crowd of Congress that has come in, the freshman crowd, I have to be honest, they scare me. They scare me. They do not think like I think. And you know, I have to admit, it's a lot of the older generation's fault. We might as well admit it. We allowed the liberals to take over the universities that have been teaching our young people, and they've been teaching, and I'm talking about in secular universities, you know, things that are anti-American. I mean, God-hating professors. They mock our flag. They mock those. It's the '60s hippies crowd that is running things now. And I don't know about you, but it scares me to think the millennial crowd is going to get in charge. Now, those of you that are millennials, you're dumb as a box of rocks. You're welcome. Amen. I just might as well admit it. I mean, they do not think like my generation thinks. And it is just, there's so many things that we need God to do in our nation. But one of the things I believe that will help us to have revival is this. Something that I saw as a young man when I got saved, that I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. It was a good church. We ran buses. My mom was a charter member in the church. I remember the first day they had met, really is in a Sunday evening. They had used my cowboy hat for an offering plate. I think I wasn't, but maybe, I don't know if I was in second grade, somewhere around there, but just a little kid. And I can remember sitting on the stairs there in that house on Blueberry in Pasadena, Texas, and they had not thought of what we get. You know, we're going to take up an offering, and we need something to. So they just grabbed my cowboy hat and, you know, passed the cowboy hat around, took up the offering, and I've just been around church, but you know, I saw that church go from just that crowd that met that night to the running over 1,200, and man, seeing just amazing. For years, man, watching, and again, I wasn't saved, but the front of the auditorium would just be lined up with folks that are getting saved or folks come to join, folks getting right with God, many tears in the altar, man, the Holy Spirit of God showing up and just moving in a great way. I have to be honest, I left the Southern Baptist Convention after I got saved. I went back to my home church. I was there for about a year and a half. But when I went to Bible college, went to an independent Baptist college, by conviction, I'd just been brought up on King James and separation standards and soul winning, aggressive soul winning. And so I have seen now, since that time, though, folks, we're letting things slip as independent Baptists. We really are. We are compromising in music, though you folks have a great music program, and I appreciate that. Man, in the last 5 years that my wife and I have been traveling, I really did not realize the depth of compromise amongst independent Baptists. I don't know how else to say it other than it's a sad thing. We are not aggressive anymore in our soul winning. We're not aggressive about talking to folks about the Lord. And I am convinced that that is one of the things that if we're going to see revival in our nation, that we're going to have to get back to that aggressiveness in our soul winning. Let me tell you why. Listen, before I got saved as a early 20s young man that's lost and in the world, I thought like the liberal crowd thinks. I thought like the drunken crowd thinks, like the drug crowd thinks. Those things of abortion were all right. The so-called liberal policies were were the right direction for our company, but our country. But when I got saved, man, those things begin to change immediately. Remember, the Bible says we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And listen, if our nation is going to have revival, what's going to have to take place is there's a lot of folks out there that they are going to have to change the way that they think. And the only way to change the thinking of somebody is to change the heart. The only way to change the heart is to get them saved. Amen? So if we're going to see our nation have revival, part of what's going to have to happen is that the people of God that believe this book, that know they're saved and have a foundation in that, are going to have to get back to being aggressive about talking to folks about the Lord. Now, you heard this week, didn't you, that Hillary had said she's not going to run in 2020. Did y'all hear that? Amen. She said but she's moving to Chicago so that she can run for governor of Illinois. No, not really. Not really. That's mean, isn't it? Listen. That no doubt that crowd that voted for her, and if you did, God bless you. You can get saved here in a little bit. Amen. But that crowd that voted for her, I don't understand their thinking. I really don't. The crowd, I'll be honest with you, the crowd that voted for President Obama, I do not understand their thinking. It is foreign to me. It does not make sense. And I'm not mad at them. I just think they're lost. And I'm no doubt there was probably some folks that are saved that voted for her. Because you can look around our nation. There are a lot of folks that I can't see anybody's heart. But I know this. They have a profession of salvation. But, man, they think different than I think. There's a lot of folks that say they're saved today that are believers, and they drink, they gamble, they're just like the world in their deportment. In other words, their lifestyle, they act just like the world. They don't mind missing church. They don't have a consistent prayer life, or they don't read their Bible. I know I've got my niece's husband is a, now you forgive me, please don't let it reflect on me, but he is a contemporary Christian singer. And he travels, and this is his words now, he travels and does gigs at church. See, that language is foreign to me. You're going to do a what at church? A gig. That sounds like something that, you know, my generation of singers would have said, but it wouldn't have been down to House of God, amen? But he gets up there and plays his rock and roll. And I, you know, I want to believe he's saved. I struggle with it. I'm just being honest with you. I do. I struggle with that. How can you be saved and still want that carnality, that lifestyle, you know? In fact, their son, how old is he now? Five? Four. Just turned four. He got his first haircut maybe 6 months ago. I mean, honestly, he looked like a little girl. And you say something. Now, this is a fella, he's a staff person at a non-denominational type church, but you say something about his long hair, and they get mad. They get offended. How can you be offended at what the Bible says? It's really clear. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Well, I mean, you know, how can you get offended at that? But, you know, probably tonight they're going to listen to this or something. I don't know. Always when I start saying stuff like that, I get, oh, no. But that's just the truth. I do not understand how they think. And by the way, I don't want to understand how they think. Amen? But I know this crowd, the folks I'm looking at, I mean, it is obvious from looking at the crowd tonight that this is a fundamentalist type crowd. Y'all still believe, well, everybody but Brother Todd, you know, is for wearing coats and ties. Brother, you talk to your son later, amen. And I know he's a grown man. He do what he wants to do, but amen. I'm just picking on you, brother. It's all right. That's so, you know, but this is the thing. We have got to see their thinking change. And the only thing that's going to do that is getting them saved. And the only way they're going to get saved is if we get aggressive again. Look at the verse again there in Philemon 6. It said that the communication of thy faith, what are we talking about? Soul winning. All right? That the communication of thy faith, look at this, may become effectual. Let me try to give you a couple of illustrations if I could. First, everybody ought to be able to at least tell somebody what happened to them when they got saved. All right, everybody ought to be able to give their own testimony when they're talking to somebody. Hey, this is how I got saved. This is what happened to me. I'll be honest with you. I do not believe that's the most effective way of witnessing to somebody, but it can be effective, no doubt. But it says here, again, look at the wording, that the communication of thy faith may, what's that next word? Become effectual. So what he's trying to get across here is this, that you may have a way of talking to folks. Maybe it's your testimony. Maybe it's some other way. But we can become more effective. Let's look in the scriptures for a couple of illustrations. First, let's see. Go back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Yes, sir. That's the one. Matthew, Mark, Genesis, Exodus. John chapter 15. Amen. We're going to have fun this evening. Amen. You should have prayed for you. Oh, my. John 15. Look at verse 1. I'm going to start reading there. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. So here we have, back in verse 1, we've gone from bearing fruit to more fruit, now to much fruit. Look in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear what? Much fruit. So this is the idea, that every branch is to produce fruit, and the more fruit, the better. Amen? Isn't that what he's saying? So we see somebody that has gone from producing fruit to more fruit to much fruit. So he has become, if you will, more effective, all right, in his fruit bearing. Let's see. Shame on me. I think it's Mark chapter 4. If you would, turn over there. Mark chapter 4. The parable of the sower is here, and Jesus' interpretation, in other words, he's telling the fellows what he was trying to teach by the parable. He talks about the crowd, that the first crowd that are given the seed. If you remember, the fowl of the air come and steal the seeds, and then there's the second crowd that they receive the word. It's on stony ground, and because of not much root in themselves, they endure for a while, but then afterward they disappear. Then there's the crowd that is the seed sown among thorns, and the cares of the world, riches, and so on, that crowd ends up disappearing. They become fruitless. But then if you notice in verse 20 there, Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Now look at this. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. You see the progression again? So we've gone from bearing fruit to more fruit to much fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of the 100-fold crowd. Amen? I thank God for anybody that produces any fruit, but I want to be a part of that 100-fold crowd. Amen? I want to get as much done for God as I can. I don't know about you, but listen, I'm sick and tired of a bunch of lazy Christians. You're welcome. Amen? That they know what's right. And you can't tell me your pastor hadn't preached the truth. You can't tell me you don't know what's right. But I just wonder, and let me just put it now where we can understand it really clear. Again, I'm a retarded Texan. I need it down on cookie shelf level. So if you look back over 2018, how many visitors did you bring in 2018, people you led to Christ and you brought them to church, walked them down the aisle, said, Pastor, I led this person to Christ this week, and they're coming forward to make a profession of faith. I'm just asking a rhetorical question, but in your mind, how many did you have? How many are you going to have this year? And let me just say this, if you didn't have any last year and you don't have a goal this year, you're going to probably produce the same thing you produced last year. Now, let me just say it right here. Brother Wilkins used to say it like this. Can I tell you, you're in trouble with the boss? Yeah. See, we looked at it this morning. He said, I know thy what? And you go ahead and tell me what greater work is there for the people of God than it is of getting folks saved. There's not a greater work. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, somebody help me out. Now, I know, again, I'll admit it, I'm a retarded Texan, but isn't that the job we're supposed to be busy doing? As my Father, he even says it up there, I read it earlier, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. See, we're under marching orders. Do y'all get that? Yep. See, remember, let me help you just in case you didn't understand. The very moment you got saved, you got drafted. The very moment. See, now you are in this army. We even teach that to the kids. I don't know about junior church this morning, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit. They didn't sing that song. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Amen. Hey, you're in an army. You've been drafted. By the way, I never had the honor to serve in our military. Thank you to those that did. But you just check those fellows out. Check those ladies out. See if when they were given an order by a superior, if they had option whether they're going to fulfill the order or not. And we're under orders. We've got marching orders. Amen or not? Anybody question what the marching orders are? Has anybody got a question about they don't understand? He said it very clearly. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to whom? Every creature. Preach it to every creature. Now, y'all, help me out here for a second. And I ask this in a lot of places. How many of y'all think that's the orders that were given by Jesus? Amen? He made it very clear. You and I are to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He gave that as he, before he ascends up into heaven, he makes it perfectly clear to those apostles, those church members, your job is to get the gospel around the world. All right? And that, we have a revolving personal commission, if you will, 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. See, it's a revolving commission. That's how we got the gospel here in America, is that folks that they got saved, they won others to Christ and taught them how to get folks saved. And that thing has continued on until you and I received the gospel. Now, but since that time that Jesus gave that command to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, do you think that commission has ever been fulfilled during a particular generation? In other words, is there some generation that reached their generation for Christ during their lifetime? Anybody believe that that's ever been accomplished? Anybody? Raise your hand and wave at me real high if you think it has been accomplished. Anybody? All right. Take your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. There you go. That's... Colossians chapter 1, look down now to verse 23. Now, let me ask this. How many of y'all believe we have an every word Bible? In other words, every word, it's a verbally inspired, inerrant, infallible. Amen? No mistakes, no exaggerations. God did not allow lies in this book. Amen? Now, look at verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, now look at this, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That'll throw a monkey wrench in things. See, Paul just said in his generation, every creature under heaven got the gospel preached to him. Is that what it says or not? Amen. Let's look at it again. And which was preached... to who? Which is under heaven. Say, Brother Scott, how'd that happen? I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I know this. If we're going to get it done, we're going to have to do it one person at a time. 6.5-7 billion people alive on planet Earth, Brother Scott. How in the world are we going to reach everybody? Just one at a time. But part of our problem is this. We don't even believe it's been done. In fact, we would almost say, I don't know that it can be done. We'd almost have to say, O ye of little faith. And let's be honest, how many times have we read that and just read right by it and never even saw it? Yet Paul said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, without error, without exaggeration, that the gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Amazing. See, let's understand this tonight as we get started. It can be done. God's love proved it can be done. Stop and think for a minute. Do you really think that God would give us a commission, give us orders that cannot be fulfilled? And thereby frustrating us for all of our life? I don't believe he's like that. I don't believe he's some ogre up in heaven that is sitting back, oh, they'll never be able to accomplish that. Suckers, no way. See, he's serious about people getting saved. And he showed us in the Scripture it can be done. And yet, and I promise you, please, don't be embarrassed or upset tonight. Everywhere I go, I get the same response. In our generation, nobody believes it's ever been done. And that might as well be honest, that hurts us. Because in our mind, we're defeated. Satan's won the battle of the mind. We think it can't be done. Now, let's be honest, though. Let's ask the question then. Where is the problem? Is it with the commission? Or is it with those that are supposed to be fulfilling the commission? Yeah. We're the problem. We're the problem. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 20. See, God even gave us a method whereby we could train this army. And see, that's... Well, listen to me. The biggest part of the problem with our soul winning is this. We're fearful. We're fearful. We've never really been trained how to win souls. And I think, honestly, unless a fella has a pride or an ego problem, all of us have a certain amount of inferiority complex. We always look, and the other guy's sharper than I am. He's more with it. Maybe he's a little smarter. Maybe he's got more on the ball. And we all kind of have that thought inside. Again, unless a fellow's prideful, he really is. And I believe the majority of God's people are humble people and think, man, you know, the other guy is a little sharper. But understand this, that the truth is, the Bible says this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So understand the truth is, listen, we can overcome that fear. It's kind of like this. Remember the day you started that new job, the first day there? Man, you didn't even know where the time clock was. Man, you went over there and you really didn't know what the full expectation of the job was. I mean, there's that butterflies in the stomach, and the heart's kind of pounding a little bit as you show up, and wondering what it is that I'm going to be doing. But man, after you've been there 6 months, and they've trained you, showed you what your job is, now you've kind of got it down pat. You don't need anybody else to kind of direct you. You can accomplish the job that you've been hired to do. Man, 2 years down the road, in fact, they'd come to you and say, hey, would you train the people that now are coming up behind you? And that initial fear is gone. Why? Because of the training and the experience. What we have done amongst independent Baptists, I find this is true most of the places that I go, that our training in the past has kind of been in this vein. Well, if you'll just come and go with somebody on soul winning night, then we'll put you with somebody. They'll do all the talking and you just kind of listen and they will teach you. You can learn from them what you need to say and how you can go about winning folks to Christ. Well, that's kind of been how we've trained folks through the years. But Brother Angel and I were talking, yesterday, and he had made this statement again. He's made it before, and I believe it. You remember there with the story of Ruth and Boaz, and as Ruth is going through the fields, what she is doing is just getting the gleaning. The main harvest has already happened, and there's these handfuls of purpose, or there's this gleanings that's taking place. Folks, we are not in the main harvest anymore. What I'm saying is this, we're real close to the Lord coming back. And we're in a time of gleanings. There are not as many people getting saved as what there used to be. I'm not trying to make excuse. I just believe that's the times that we're in. And so the point is this. The way that we used to train people in soul winning does not work anymore. Because used to, man, when I got saved, you go out, you knock doors. Man, somebody come to the door. You could talk to them about the Lord. It was not uncommon to see people saved at the door, on a regular basis. And you could train somebody in soul winning, because it was a common thing to see people saved while you're out knocking doors. Nowadays, we are not seeing a lot of people saved like that. And because of that, then the silent partner that's going with us, that's to be trained, does not see the effectiveness of soul winning. And in their mind, they have said, hey, this isn't working. This isn't working. And if it's not working, why go? And so we have seen the aggressive soul winning of independent Baptists fall way off. We are not the same group that we were when I was a young man. And a lot of times we did this. We used soul winning as a motivational thing. And saying this, man, this is this will help in church growth. Understand, because we're not seeing as many folks saved at the door, we're not growing that much through soul winning anymore. But that does not negate the command that we're under. Amen? And see, this is what we got to get back to teaching. See, you go soul winning because you love Him. Remember what He said back there in John chapter 14? If you love Me, do what? Keep My commandments. See, we ought to go soul winning whether we see anybody saved or not. Why? It's the orders we're under. And if it's the orders we're under, then, because of my love, I have got to go. It does not matter whether one person ever gets saved. It doesn't matter. I have still got to go. I've still got to tell folks. But here in Acts chapter 20, if you would, look down to verse 20. And I want to show you here, God gave us a threefold method for training people how to win souls to Christ. He said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Three things He gave us there. Number one, He said, I showed you. In other words, He sat down in a public demonstration, took His Bible, and showed a group of people how to lead a soul to Christ. And that's part of what we do now. When I come back in April, is that it? In March 31st. I will sit down right down here, and I will use somebody here, somebody with a little intelligence, amen, that won't do me like Miss Diane did this morning, try to throw my illustration off, amen. And I will go through the New Testament and lead somebody to Christ. I use a very simple plan of just, you know, the fact of sin, the consequences of sin, the remedy for sin, and the individual response to the gospel. Now, let me say this. I don't want to use too much, but we've got to get back to training folks how to win souls, and we've got to do a better job than just the Romans Road. And basically, the outline I gave you is a Romans Road outline. But listen, we've got to get back to first getting the gospel involved. Remember what Paul said there in Romans chapter 1, verse 16? He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. So understand the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection. Man, part of what we did back in the, back in the 70s, 80s, we got in this vein of 1, 2, 3, pray after me. And let's just be honest, that stuff hurt us. We filled churches up with lost people. Might as well be honest about it. And what we understand, have you ever thought about this? Why is the resurrection important? What is it? This is the thing. See, the resurrection proved that Jesus, He and He alone, had victory over sin and death. Thereby, He and He alone can forgive sin. See, we've got a bunch of religious nuts today that are dying in the name of religion. They are. Man, people that strap bombs to themselves, they'll fly planes into buildings, and they'll do it all in the name of religion. We have to separate Jesus from those nuts. See, understand, He gave Himself in death. But when he got up on that third day, it proved he had victory over sin and death. And thereby, he and he alone can forgive sin. We've got to get that back in our soul winning. We've got to get back to getting people lost. We've got to get back to the Holy Spirit of God being involved in our soul winning. And the devil has sold us so many lies. The people of God today, the average saved person believes this. Man, I really don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. I really struggle with that. In fact, don't do it. Don't raise your hands. But if I ask that question, how many of you thought that way? I promise there'd be the majority of hands go up. I really don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice. Now, one of those two's a liar. I'm going to stick with Jesus. See, you do know how to hear his voice. Now, let's be honest. The closer your fellowship, the louder the voice is. Amen? But you hear his voice. So when you go out soul winning, listen, you can listen to the Holy Spirit of God, and he will give you direction as to, remember back in Jude, it said there's some that get saved with fear, others get saved, with compassion, making a difference. And forgive my, I didn't quote it there, but some having compassion, making a difference, and others saving with fear, pulling them out of the fire. So some people get saved over the love of God. Others get saved over the fear of God. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Others get saved because they heard about the love of God, how he died for them, loved them. And man, I've been accused of this, and I get so mad I want to kind of wring their nose. Getting saved because of the fear of hell isn't a fire escape. It changed my life. I got just as saved as anybody else. But we have to understand, listen, different people hear different things. And so who knows the heart of the people that we're talking to? If the Holy Spirit knows, then what I have to do is listen to his voice as I'm talking to this person. And you can hear his voice. So understand. He said here, go back to Philemon verse 6, that's Hebrews chapter 1, Brother Tom. He said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Let me give you three things and we'll be done. How can it become effectual? Number one, through preparation. Preparation. Man, teaching folks, getting back to teaching folks how to win souls to Christ. Taking that threefold, man, sit down, show somebody how to be saved. Then have public classroom sessions to teach biblical principles, to teach practical principles on how to lead a soul to Christ. Things like all sinners are like green beans. Y'all understand that, don't you? All right, well, you come back March 31st, you'll find out how that works, amen? Shooing away birds. Got to teach that, amen? Y'all get that one? Shooing away birds? Nobody? Come back March 31st. You'll find out about that. Not going to give you those things now. We'll give them to you then, amen? It's advertisement time. but listen, this is the thing. We've got to learn to prepare. Prepare. Teach folks. Remember what he said back in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15? He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That word sanctify is this, set apart. So the things about God, he said, set those apart. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready, how often? Always, to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. See, you and I ought to be prepared in a way that at a moment's notice, whether we wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and haven't even had our coffee yet we can still take a Bible and show somebody how to be saved. We ought to be that prepared at any moment. Folks, listen, let's be honest. You never know when God's going to say, listen, talk to that person. How many of us, we know God has told us at some point, you need to talk to them, and you didn't do it. Anybody guilty? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Why? Most of the time it's fear. Most of the time it's fear. And it's because we're, let's be honest. I say that too much. Listen, when's the last time we had a Sunday school class teaching somebody how to win a soul to Christ? And so, what we've done is our people don't know how to win souls to Christ. And Satan has used that thing of fear to intimidate us. So that we get scared. We get nervous about passing out a tribe. When that ought to be a simple thing, amen? It ought to be that everywhere we go, you're carrying a pocket full of tracts, amen? And that you're ready to pass them out. But again, let me just ask you. Now, don't answer rhetorical question. But how many of you have a pocket full of tracts right now ready to give somebody a tract? And if not, why not? See, you're not prepared. That's why. And let me just say it like this. Shame on you. You say, why? Well, amen. Do you get this? See, if we drive up to Dixon and go in there and ask them, say, do you care whether people go to hell or not? What are they going to say? They're going to say, no. No. Go over here, the local Casey's over here, go inside, ask the cashier, do you care whether people go to hell or not? That's not my job. Go to the local car dealership, and I appreciate y'all work there, but that's not what your boss is about. No. See, you want to know the crowd that cares? This crowd. See, we care whether people are going to hell or not. Amen? Man, that's our heart. It's the heartbeat of our Father, and it's our heartbeat. He's passed it on so that I cannot but tell somebody. I've got to tell somebody, lest they die, and I'm guilty with blood on my hands. I've got to tell them. Why? Because I care. We're the crowd that cares. But what are we doing? This is the crowd that cares. And we're not doing our job. Preparation. How are we going to become effective? Number one, preparation. Number two, prayer. Prayer. Look back in Acts chapter 3, if you would. Excuse me, chapter 4, down to verse 31. When they had prayed, talking about the First Baptist Church, Jerusalem there, amen. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see that? See, you and I are going to have to begin to pray again and get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. All of us, if you're saved tonight, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Your body's His temple. But that's a far cry from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Big difference. We've got to get back to being a people that's filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can have boldness to speak the Word of God. You'll not be bold short of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So, and we might as well admit it, folks. This generation of believers, we are just real close to being spiritually dead. Now, we don't mind coming down to the house of God. We'll sing. I mean, we'll shout it out down under the preaching. But man, when you get outside these doors, it becomes a different thing. And not be. Where's the excitement? Where's the thrill that He's alive? Where's the thrill that you got born again and can't wait to tell somebody? Huh? So it's going to take preparation if we're going to become effective. Number two, it's going to take prayer. Number three, and I'll close, it's going to take participation. See, you're not going to become effective if you are not participating. We can talk about it all we want, but unless we're going, we're dead in the water. We've got to get back to when it's soul winning time, we're here. Quit making excuse. Quit acting like I just don't have time. What do you mean you don't have time? This is what we're about. You understand there's people out there that are hurting. Some of them have never heard the true gospel. Some of them are going to Protestant churches around here, maybe it's Catholic church. They have never heard the truth of the gospel. They are religious, but spiritually they're dead. They don't get it. They don't understand. There's others, they've never darkened the door of a church. They're hurting. They're abused. Emotionally, physically, mentally. And who has the answers to help them? This crowd. And this is the crowd that cares about them. Psychiatrists can't help them. Therapists can't help them. We have the answer. Nobody else does. And we are sitting on it. We're asleep. That's what he said in Mark chapter 13. He said, you better be watching because he's going to come in a day and an hour when you think not. He said, lest he find you sleeping. And that's where we are today. We're asleep. Folks, we've got to become effective again. Our nation is depending on you. Let me close with this thought. The missionaries are depending on you. You ever thought about that? See, they have done this. They have said, I'm leaving my family. I'm leaving my nation to go onto a foreign field to tell somebody else about Jesus. Yet they have family here that need to be reached for Christ. Who's going to reach them? They've gone. It's our job. They're trusting us. We're failing. I love my nation. I've said that time and again here today. I love my nation. But we're just about to lose her. Folks, you and I can do something about it. We serve a great and mighty God. By the way, I'm looking tonight at folks that are more than conquerors. You're the family of God. Y'all are children of the King. There's not a sorry one amongst us. If you're saved tonight, man, you're on the winning side. I don't know about you. I don't like losing. Amen? Just something inside saying, don't like it. I want to see my nation have revival. I still believe we can have revival. But see, revival is this. Revival is the saved crowd getting right. The product of revival would be lost folks getting saved. Just a byproduct. I don't know about you, but I want revival. I want to become effective for Christ. Let's stand there.